Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector, who is The Expert Vet. She is a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you have a problem that's been difficult to diagnose or treat, Dr. Donna can give a second opinion to help you and your vet keep your pets healthy. Email your questions to radiopetlady@gmail.com. The Expert Vet is a production of 8paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. This show is supported by Spot Platinum, an allergy test that can help pinpoint which elements in your pet's environment or diet may be causing his allergies. Is your dog or cat constantly scratching, itching, licking? He may have allergies that the Spot Platinum blood titer test can detect, and for which they make a personalized USDA-approved serum to control the symptoms. At Spot Platinum, their mission is to give reliable results, effective treatment, and unparalleled customer service. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. This show is also brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And Dr. Donna's dream for a super low-carb canned cat food has come true. Halo's new pate-style cat food has an amazingly low 5% carbohydrate level. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. Howdy, Dr. Donna.
Hey, Tracy. How are you?
I'm dandy. Thank you. All the holiday madness swirling around us, and we have to concentrate on the business at hand,
yes.
Which is some more very interesting emails, or at least one in particular. And then you had a very interesting case of a kitty with hyperthyroidism, which is always something that we need to learn more about. Marilyn in Simpsonville, Kentucky wrote and said, "We love your show. It's a wealth of knowledge. I just adopted a 2-year-old calico from a friend who couldn't keep her anymore. She was from a feral mother. They raised her as a house cat that spent a lot of time outside hunting. I can't let her out for a good while, and I'm having a hard time getting her to eat. They thought they were doing the right thing by purchasing every kind of dry cat food at the supermarket and mixing it together. Yuck. So first thing, I tried her on canned. She wants no part of it. I've purchased a very nice dry food, which I actually hate feeding because of what you said about kitty crack, but she still wants the nasty stuff, meaning the supermarket brand. Mm-hmm. I've had her only 3 weeks. Oh, and they gave her milk, which she still insists on. Mm-hmm. Do you and Dr. Donna have any suggestions? Right now I'm mixing the what she calls the yuck food with the higher quality dry food I've purchased. I picked one that was high protein and all the ingredients look correct. However, I know the list of ingredients is never exactly what they say. So mm-hmm. what shall I do?" So the first thing I'd like to address is, here was a kitty who was partially outdoors and lived on the proper cat diet of rodents, bugs, and birds.
Right.
So it's no surprise that she really would prefer to have her species appropriate food. Interesting, and always very interesting to me, that a cat used to eating a proper, live, real, species-appropriate diet will more likely eat the lowest end, the lowest quality of a highly processed carbohydrate sprayed and created by food scientists than a canned cat food that also has real meat in it. It just isn't running around meat. It has no
right.
feet. It's not running around. So what are your thoughts on that, first of all? Because it's just so interesting how the food scientists have manipulated.
Well, I mean, that's it. I think you hit the nail right on the head, as you so often do, is that, you know, pet food companies don't play fair when, you know, and when they manufacture a suboptimal food source for a cat, which is a dry food, you know, it gets sprayed with animal digest sprays. They're very pleasing to cats. I mean, they're, you know, and they can take these lower quality, lower protein, lower fat foods and make them very, very appealing to a cat. And this cat, I mean, that's like, hello, you know, I mean, although I like grilled chicken and various things, I mean, if I had the option to sit down to a bag of Doritos, I am there.
Have you noticed how many versions of Doritos there are, by the way?
I know, exactly.
And so, you know, it's the same thing of them having bought all the dry foods at the supermarket, right. thinking, well, mix them together, and it'd be like the Doritos buffalo flavor, sour cream flavor, this flavor, that flavor. Those are not actual ingredients, usually. They're actually been studied to look for the pleasure center in the human brain. I mean, you have little kids. Do you not think it's fascinating that when you go to fast food and get a nugget type food, your child who at home is picky and fussy, won't eat anything, will eat them and dip them into a sauce made of God knows what?
Yeah, I know. It's and inhale them within minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you can go home and make normal, healthy, good food and go, it's a nugget. And the kid almost, the brain goes, nugget, I'll eat that.
Yes, I have a good example of that. My children, I love to make pizza. And my son the other day said, no, no, that's not pizza. I want the pizza that comes to the door. He didn't like my version of natural pizza. But you know,
how old is he?
6 and a half.
I love it. Yeah,
well,
they want the one
whole
from the
point.
Yeah.
Is even though this cat has lived outdoors for, you know, for a long period of time and eating an appropriate diet, when presented with an extremely appealing, right down to the neurologic synapses, you know, I mean,
yes.
It's like, wow,
yes.
You know, it's overriding. And it's just like, you know, even though we know this is a healthier choice, you know, it's hard to not be swayed by how great those things smell and taste and crunch, and it's a whole different texture. And you know, I mean, it's just,
and it creates a brain craving. One of the reasons these cats will eat all day long, and the last thing we want you to do is free feed your cat anything, especially not dry food, is because each time the pleasure center it's actually pushing a button in the pleasure center. It's creating, it's why I've coined the phrase kitty crack. It is causing an addiction. You are mentally or neurologically or chemically addicted, you the cat, to it.
Right.
So,
but I guess my recommendations at this point, because right now this cat is eating a commercial like grocery store brand dry food, right?
Mixed in with what she calls a
higher quality
one. But in the end of the day, we want to get that cat on canned food, and so does she.
Right. And so the first step, and I think, you've already stated it, but I'm going to be very clear here, is if the cat is being free fed, that's the first and most critical step is stop the free feeding and go to meal feeding, morning feeding, evening feeding.
Yes.
That's the first step. I mean, obviously we wish food transition was easy as plunking down new food. And, you know, some cats are like, fantastic. Finally, you're feeding me the right food.
Yes.
But for these that are more resistant, the first thing we need to do is stop free feeding, go to morning food and evening food.
Yes.
It's okay for a cat to have a hunger pang.
Yes.
You know, they don't need the food every 2 hours and grazing. And, you know, start with the own natural body responses of, ooh, I'm a little hungry.
Yes.
So then we're going to start to meal feed. And then, you know, we're doing the mix right now. And then it's slowly. And again, I always tell my clients that have difficult cats to transition, it doesn't matter how long it takes to get there. Be slow, be patient.
That's right.
As long as we get there. I've transitioned some of my own cats throughout life that has taken months.
That's
you know,
right.
I mean, 3 to 6 months, whatever. As long as we get there, that's what's really
that's
makes
right.
The biggest
because
difference.
They can live to 20 and above.
Right.
So if it takes you 2, 3, 6 months, you're still looking at a lifetime of health.
And any person can patiently outstubborn a cat. I mean, it can happen, but it's hard. And I'll be the first to admit when they look up at you with those pleading eyes and the yowling and oh my God.
I'm or so they hungry. Walk away with their tail up in the air like, ew, you expect me to eat that $1.90 a can food? I want that 5 cent dry stuff.
Right.
So what about crushing up?
Is, you know, using the normal sensation of hunger to work with you is always good. So first starts stopping free feeding, going to meal feeding. They don't need dry food in front of them 24/7. They shouldn't be, you know, grazing in and out of that bowl. And then, you know, then of course, obviously, but if once the dry food is started, then this is where the tricks come in. It's like,
that's right.
You know, you don't just plunk down a whole can, you know, a whole new canned food. I mean, they're going to turn up their nose immediately, but can you into their dry kibble add just a tiny little dollop? I mean, not even a teaspoon, like a half a teaspoon, just like a couple little tiny chunks of the meat and put it, you know, right on top of the, you know, right on top of the dry, or mix it in a little bit, you know, just slowly introduce them. Cats are very particular about texture.
Yes.
So a pate might not be as, you know, they might like a soupier, or they might like a drier, or they might like a more of a, you know, like the Halo spot stew that I'm so familiar with is like chunky stuff.
Yeah. And some of them really can relate to that better.
Right, because they like that texture. It's almost like the bits and pieces that maybe this cat has eaten before. So trying different, not just the all ground pate, but sometimes a little chunkier or a little fluidier or a little this or a little that. I mean, it's a lot of purchasing of food. I always recommend don't buy things in big volumes.
Right, one can at a time. Yes,
one can at a time.
Yes,
and
you can refrigerate it in between with a nice lid on it.
Three days. That's the recommendation. My recommendation is to take them out of the original can and put them into a true storage container with a lid
to keep the air out.
Yeah. And, you know, and let's just be honest, some cans of cat food still have some BPA in them.
Right.
And once the can is open, that can leach into the food. So just remove them from the can, put them in a safe Tupperware container with a lid, and then you can keep that food for 3 days.
Now, what about, let's say you usually you were free feeding. Now you aren't. So you say, well, Dr. Donna, how much dry food shall I give? Well, we're really not trying to tell you how much. We're trying to tell you how to get away from it. So my thought would be as little wet food as you're putting in there. I personally like the idea of putting in an extremely small amount of dry food too.
Right.
So that you're not looking at a big thing you stick your whiskers into and just keep gnawing at it.
Maybe no, of course.
You put 10 pieces of kibble and half a teaspoon of wet. So you've got the appetite going for you and maybe to accidentally ingest the can. Then of course, once you've gotten past that stage, what about the idea of crushing X pieces of kibble, like crushing them in a coffee grinder kind of thing, and sprinkling that on top because it's not for the familiar crunch, because if you've crushed them, it's not really crunchy anymore, but it does have the pleasure center food science in it, and it would cover the wet food.
I mean, absolutely. I think it's all a process. And some cats, once they just get over the hurdle of the smell and the taste of the new thing in the bowl, I mean, then transition is easier. For those that are really resistant, I mean, the first step is like this small amount of canned added into the dry. And then it's the canned with a little bit of dry on top.
Right.
Gradually eke out the dry. I mean, you know, for some of these cats, you're doing this same process for weeks at a time. Because if you go too fast, they will turn their nose up and, you know, and not eat
at all. And then you're back to square one. You have to start all over again.
And then that's the other thing is, obviously, we don't want to withhold food for long periods of time in a cat.
Well said.
If you're getting to the point and the cat's turning up the nose and they're like, no way, sir, give me back what I've been eating, you know, don't let them go more than 24 hours.
Right.
And, you know, you may need to go back to the previous amount of dry that you were doing with the previous amount of canned, you know, and it's a slow process.
It's a shuffle. So it really is patience and it's flexibility and it's tenacity. You can out-stubborn a cat. I love that idea.
Right.
But it really has to do with reading what's working. And just because 18 pieces of kibble and a teaspoon of canned is working, don't be me who would say, fine, here's 18 teaspoons of wet and no kibble.
Right.
Because if you leapfrog too fast into that territory, some cats will just screech, put on their brakes and stop eating completely.
So my suggestion is 18 pieces of kibble with the teaspoon.
You're
to 17 kibbles with 1.5 teaspoons to 16 kibble. I mean,
absolutely.
The slower you do it, I don't care if it takes you 3 months to get there. The goal is that we're going to get there, and you're going to do it, and the cats can be like, "Oh, look at this! Funny,
I have this new food
in my bowl."
And by the way, I'm 2 years old now. Never going to be a fat cat.
Right.
Probably have lovely coat, and certainly be eating species appropriate. So, the way to think
but
of this,
so
I think,
we're so used to saying this is such a good food for you. Plunking
it
down, and they're just like, no way, no how.
And then they pick up our frustrated, you know, vibe. I paid a lot for this, and I'm trying hard, and I love you a lot.
Right.
So I think we should think of it as the doorbell for the pizza delivery.
Right.
In other words, we should think of little Mr. Spector, young Spector, who doesn't want his mother's natural, healthy, homemade pizza, and the fact that the best way to feed it to him would be to go outside your house, come to the front door, ring the doorbell, and present it to him. And that's really what we're doing with the cat. We're ringing the doorbell with the store-bought pizza as a way to go, hello, it's good for you.
Right.
Okay, so I think that's really great. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I would just like you to speak to the issue of milk and whether it's fine for some kitties and not for others. And you basically just look in the litter box to find out. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'd just love to know your thoughts on that food element, and then we'll talk a little about Hyper T in Mila the kitty. We'll be right back. Support for this show comes from VaxaCheck, a simple blood titer test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. VaxaCheck is useful on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked, and shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxaCheck eliminates the need to unnecessarily revaccinate a dog whose immune system is already protected. VaxiCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And ask your vet about the new VaxiCheck titer test for cats, too. This show is also brought to you by the pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that create a signal of comfort in your pet's brain and are natural stress relievers that can help solve behavior problems and help adopted pets make the adjustment to their new home. Adaptil is good for dogs with travel or separation anxiety, and Feel Away can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Both Feel Away and Adaptil are available as a diffuser or a spray. We are back. So Marilyn in Simpsonville, Kentucky said the kitty still insists on milk, which is quite hilarious. I want my milk. But milk is okay in moderation for some cats, right? They're not all lactose intolerant.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously every mammalian species drinks milk at the beginning of their lives and adequately digests it, and everything's fantastic. What happens, though, is as a kitten is weaned from the mother, you know, over time they lose those enzymes that digest milk appropriately. And it happens in many species, and including humans to some, you know, like I avoid milk like the plague. I don't like milk. And when I drink it now, I'm like,
your body doesn't like it either. Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm intolerant per se, just that I haven't maintained those enzymes. If I started drinking a little bit of milk at a time and gradually building up, I would regain those enzymes, because that's, you know, your body is influenced. I mean, this is really where it goes to prove your body is influenced by what you eat. You can actually change your digestion. You can change, you know, these enzymes do exist. They're just downregulated. So in a cat who has, you know, grew up on milk, and if he consistently had a source of milk, he hasn't probably lost those enzymes. So if he's not having digestive issues, vomiting, diarrhea, soft stool, gas, etc., you know, milk is okay. It's a very highly digestible protein source. I mean, there's lots of good things about milk.
That's right.
So she doesn't need to eliminate the milk per se. It's not harmful to him. But it's just over time, many people say no milk, no milk for dogs or cats, because they've lost those enzymes and it can cause digestive upset.
And if you think back to the olden days when cats were living only in the barn and were highly sought after, whether it was on a sailing ship or on a farm to get rid of rodents and vermin, they were often licking up, slurping up, or even often given milk from the dairy cows that were milked, you know, twice a day.
Right.
So milk was part of their diet. I wonder if in the case of this kitty, I don't know about her appetite, but obviously the amount of milk should I would think, be not very voluminous so as not to take away her appetite for her good canned food, or be given as dessert after she's a good girl and eats her canned food.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, terrific. So, Marilyn, we hope that really helps. And to those of you with similar challenges, if these thoughts don't work for you, either write to us at radiopetlady@gmail.com and tell us something you think has really worked, or let Dr. Donna help you.
And so, Tracy, do we have a few minutes before we move on to our hyperthyroid discussion?
Naturally.
You know, I think this listener brought up some interesting things about pet food labels that, you know, just to take a few minutes to flesh out.
Good point, because she said, I know you can't, that what they say the ingredients are is never exactly what it is. That's an interesting cynical comment.
Right. And, you know, agreed, because many times, you know, what's really in pet food, when you look at the outside of the bag, there's these really great grains, there's these whole blueberries, there's a whole chicken sitting there, you know, there's all these, you know, these great pictures, and rarely is that what's actually in the bag or the can of food. But ingredients, typically, when you start reading the label of ingredients, I mean, that is accurate, you know,
it'll list.
But, you know, we always have talked about ingredients, and there are certainly things like whole meats, whole veggies, whole this, whole that. You know, we like the wholesome ingredients, things that you actually can pronounce and understand, things that you recognize are always really good items. But I think another labeling issue that becomes important when pet owners are, you know, we've talked about high protein, low carb diets for cats. And it gets so confusing for owners who go in and they're like, I want to feed a high protein food. How do I know what's
That's right?
And the labeling, you know, and we hope that we're going to see some changes in these next coming years with pet food and how it's labeled and the requirements, because I'm sure we've all picked up a can or a bag of pet food and looked at the label. It's what they call the guaranteed analysis. And really, I'll be honest, it's useless, because they list things as either a minimum requirement or a maximum requirement. For example, protein, when it's listed on a label of pet food, is the minimum amount of protein that's in that food. Or in fat is labeled as the maximum amount of fat that's going to be in this food is X.
Right.
Fiber is listed as a maximum amount. But so if, let's use an example. So a veterinarian or anybody may prescribe like a low-fat food, and they say they want the fat content to be about 10% fat. So the pet owner finds the food, and it reads 2.5% of fat. They're like, fantastic.
That sounds
great.
Low.
That sounds really low. Well, keeping in mind, that would be a canned food. And so when that moisture, when you take into account the moisture on that food, that diet actually has about 17% fat as opposed to the 2.5 that it looks
wow.
like.
Wow.
And if you actually call the company, because remember I said fat is reported as a minimum value.
Yes.
So even though the label said 2.5, when you calculate it on dry matter, it's 17% fat, but that's the minimum. So when you call that actual pet food company, that food can have 20%, 25% fat. So a label that said 2.5% can have, you know, only, you know, God knows how much fat. I mean, in this particular case.
And they're not
case,
trying to hoodwink you. It's simply the way labeling has been set up as a right. as a way of giving information that's required. I
right.
think that Dr. Sean on Pet Food Advisors or you also said that the amounts given of anything in a dog or a cat food are uh-huh. plus or minus 50%.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. it could be twice as much as what you thought.
Right.
And maybe right. that matters deeply if you're trying to lose weight.
Right.
And what about if you've had pancreatitis? I mean, this
right.
is something you've helped with Stella, the lovely dog in East Hampton before. I mean, that dog had several life-threatening in the intensive care on IV fluids and antibiotics.
Right. Right.
You can't mess around when you have an right. animal that's already shown a weakness about something.
Right. And, you know, like cats, when we're talking about high protein, you know, a good example is when you're trying to compare dry versus canned food.
Yes.
So dry food, you tell me, what do you think has more protein, a dry food with 28% protein or a canned food with 6.5% protein?
Of course, I think I'm doing better by giving that high quality, high premium, costlier 28%. It sounds
right.
better.
It does sound better. But when you do the calculation and comparing apples to apples, which means looking at the dry matter content of that food, the dry food that had 28% protein has about 30% protein. And that canned food with 6.4% protein has 40% protein in it.
Wow.
So that's when I understand owners' frustrations, because they're looking at the label. They're saying, no, it's 6.5%
right.
protein. That's really low. And it's really confusing, and pet food labeling is really stinky. It just doesn't help you at all.
And by the way, the companies are really not trying to pull the wool over your eyes, because they have to do it that way, because the AAFCO tells them. Dr. Sean often on the air will go to his book. It's hilarious. He'll note which page it's on and read what the clinical description of something
right.
is, and it tells the pet food manufacturer how they have to describe the ingredients.
And so the good news is many pet food companies now, if you call them and say, I'm looking at this food, they will now say, oh, that actually has, and they'll give you the exact
wow.
percentage of protein. And so that's why I'm calling out to people, like, if you're looking for the food, don't be shy. Get on the phone and
I
call
love
the company
that.
And say, tell me how much protein, fat, carbohydrates, because that's the other big kicker. Nowhere on any label of any pet
yes.
food anywhere are carbohydrates listed.
And it's such a big issue when we keep saying low carb,
issue.
And how are you going to know if it's not
right.
even there? How do
so
but this
the only way to find out is to call a pet food company. And I think any cat food you're looking at, because we always are saying, you know, less than 10% carbs.
Yes.
Calling them up and say, tell me how many calories from carbohydrates does this cat food have? And they can, you know, and they can tell you. And so I think it's the time has come for pet owners, you know, who are really trying to make good choices. You can't read the back of the label. Calling these companies or working with someone like myself, like your vet, if your vet is knowledgeable about food, you know, is important, because it can make a huge difference. I'm all the time dealing with clients that are like, wow, we thought this was this. And again, it's not pet food companies trying to hoodwink people. It is just the way the rules are written right now.
Well, we don't have time for the Hyper T Kitty, but we do have time to announce that we're about to start the Halo Healthy Weight Challenge. And we have picked the first dog who's going to have the blessing of Dr. Donna's expertise. And as everybody follows along with Fritz, who's only, you know, he's a young dog. He only probably has 5 pounds to lose, but he's always hungry and the weight won't come off. I'm hoping that it will inspire people to follow along, to reach out to Dr. Donna if you want to work with her, or if you would like to be considered to be the next dog in the Halo Healthy Weight Challenge. Because in 2014, this is our goal, to give people the tools and empower them, exactly as Donna says, to take charge of their pet's nutrition, to know what you're putting in their mouth, and to make decisions that will ultimately benefit their wellness. So we're going to get to Milo the Hyper T Kitty soon, but next week we're definitely going to explain to you the whole Halo Healthy Weight Challenge, what Dr. Donna is going to do for Fritz and perhaps for your dog, or maybe you want to work with her. If you aren't patient enough to see if you get chosen for the next challenge, maybe you want to work with her directly, like I've done with Teddy, who, by the way, is now well under 100 pounds. And we're our target of his two-year-old weight at age 7 is within sight. So whether you have to take off 25 pounds or 5, Dr. Donna is the woman to go to. Dr. Donna, poor Mila, the hyperthyroid kitty. Luckily, she's your client, so she's gotten help. I don't feel like we've left her out in the cold.
No.
But anybody that has questions, please email them to us, because we really love the challenge. We love the diversity of topics, and we like to know that we're helping one particular family and all the others at the same time. So, Dr. Donna, have a great evening. Thank you so much. And next week, learn more about how to really begin to take the weight off with Dr. Donna's secret plans for Fritz and maybe for your dog, too. Thanks, Dr. Donna.
Bye.
Have a great night.
Hey, it's me, Ellen, and if you know anything about me, you know I love my pets. And if you've been reading my diary, you know I had a crush on Donny Osmond. Anyway, I love my pets so much that I'll only give them Halo. It's premium quality, nutritious, natural dog food. Really, read the label and you'll see. Halo is my pet food company, and we care about what's in the bag and what's not.
Halo, the number one selling natural pet food brand, using only real meat, never any meals. Halo is available at Petco, Whole Foods Market, and your local pet specialty or natural food store. Visit HaloPets.com.